The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Isabel Hardman and James Forsyth. And it's A-level results day. The story this time is not about a mutant algorithm, instead it's grade inflation. James, can you talk us through what's been going on?
Last year, the government tried to use an algorithm to control grade inflation. There was a huge hoo-ha because the algorithm, while it might have been right in the round, was clearly unfair in individual cases, because the way it worked was to look at your school's past performance and then work out what grade you were likely to get. And that meant that if you were an exceptional pupil at a historically underperforming school, you were marked down. And that created some very hard and very unfair cases. So this year, the government have gone for teacher-assessed grades. But the problem that comes with teacher-assessed grades is that when it comes to any kid on a grade boundary, the teacher is in the vast majority of cases, going to be inclined to be generous. And we see this, you know, in 2019, the last year with normal traditional exams, with students at desks in an exam hall being told, you know, put down your pens, 25% of students got either an A or an A star. This year, that number is almost 45%, just shy of that. And I think what that jump in the number of A stars and A's gets, which comes after 2 years of disrupted education, is that essentially teachers have been very generous to their pupils for highly understandable reasons. But I think it does create a problem in that it's very hard to say that these results are comparable to those from 2019. And I think it also creates a problem for next year. We know, for example, that universities will offer incentives to students to defer starting until the next year because more students will make their offer this year than normal. And so next year's exams are not going to be able to be marked in the traditional fashion without creating an unfairness between that year and this year. So I think in a way it's a microcosm of how long it will take to get the effects of COVID out of the system, this problem.
Isabel, when it comes to the effects of grade inflation, James touched on the point that if you are people, you know, only 2 years ago who sat exams, we could get to a point perhaps in the future where people don't forget which one, people don't remember which ones are the COVID years, and people are disadvantaged in that sense. Do you think that's something ministers are worried about?
I think it's one of the many things that ministers are worried about. And don't forget that the Conservatives spent a lot of time talking about the problem of grade inflation when they first came to government over a decade ago. And obviously the pandemic has changed all of that, and grade inflation is now sort of the lesser of two evils. But there has to be some kind of way of giving these pupils from these, I suppose, 3 years, really, at least, some kind of boost so that when they're going into their first jobs, into the workplace, into universities and so on, as you say, that it is clear that the year that they took their exams was an extraordinary year, and there have been various calls for various programs to help with that. There's also an issue with the way in which the grading system favours the more affluent and advantaged pupils. So those who've been looking at the numbers today say that the gap between rich and poor pupils and between black pupils and other ethnic minorities have actually been widened by this grading system. And we've also seen evidence over the past year or so that the disadvantaged groups of pupils have been falling behind their peers, not just within schools, but in different areas. And so if you're in a particularly disadvantaged area, you're much more likely to have had poorer schooling over the pandemic, which obviously entrenches that disadvantage still further. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done to stop this generation of pupils becoming what I think it's Robert Halfen, the chair of the Education Select Committee, has called ghost pupils, who basically have lost a huge amount from the pandemic in terms of their education.
And James, what are the plans there? Because we know that there is a catch-up education fund, but it wasn't as much as the figure in charge of that, the staff that requested, and they resigned. So is the government going to find more money for that in a spending review? Do you think education is one of the priorities?
So when Kevin Gollins quit, it was because the government wouldn't, as you said, fully fund the catch-up programme he suggested. At the time, the government was very keen to emphasise that, you know, there would be more money for education. And one of the Treasury's points was they didn't want to do this education catch-up money outside of the confines of, or in full, outside of the confines of the spending round. And now, I don't think the spending round is going to produce the level of money that Kevin Gollins was talking about, but I think it will produce some more. I think the most important thing, though, is to get back to robust, normal exams as quickly as possible, because it's only then that we'll really find out how much lost learning there's been and what the effects have been. Because at the moment, we simply don't know. Because you can look at these, the fact that these teacher assessed grades, and accept that they are not comparable to 2019. But what they don't tell you is how would these kids have done in the exams of 2019? And I think that is a problem. And I think in some ways you need to find out the scale of the problem as quickly as possible.
And as well, where does the Tory parliamentary party sit on this? Because I think there's clearly some relief in the sense that you think back to last summer and how the algorithm became a big political row, lots of pressure, a U-turn, disrupted, I think, many constituents' lives, but also many MPs' holidays.
which is the important thing here.
which always will make people more grumpy. So is there relief, do you think, this time that they have gone for what I think many see as the least bad option, and a desire to get back to exams?
Yeah, there's not that pressure that we saw last summer, as you say. There's not a big row brewing. So far, MPs don't seem to be being inundated by students who are furious that they got better grades than they might otherwise have done, or that they've got into their first choice university. I think that this is a sort of a longer term problem in terms of the disruption it's caused to the understanding of grades. Now, I think there is some anxiety in the party about universities and what this means for university entrance, particularly for students who did get lower than expected grades, who have not got into their university of choice, say they missed out on it by one mark. But because so many people have had their first offer accepted, the clearing system is very different this year. So I think there will be some concern around that. But this feels much more like a sort of the normal constituency work that MPs will be doing, rather than them basically, you know, sort of turning on Gavin Williamson as Education Secretary, which I'm sure he'll be relieved about for the time being anyway.
And that was a very useful segue as well, because just finally, James, how is Gavin Williamson faring? Many thought it would be a difficult week for him. Do you think that his stock is rising or falling in terms of his handling of this?
I think today is not an easy day for him, because the jump in the number of A stars and A's makes it clear that these results are not comparable to previous years. But I think as both you and Isabel have said, Katie, this is an easier problem to deal with politically than what happened last year, when you had pupils getting much worse grades than they expected as part of the effort to trade grade inflation. Essentially, the government has made a political choice that grade inflation for this year, likely for next year, and maybe taking longer than that to work its way through the system, is, to borrow Isabel's phrase, is the lesser of two evils in this instance. And it certainly is not leading to the level of anger and irateness that the algorithm did last year. I think when things get difficult is if we end up in a situation where universities can't accommodate all the pupils and they can't find enough pupils willing to defer to next year. Those kind of things could become quite tricky. I also think that there is going to be a row about how universities teach. We know that quite a few universities intend to maintain hybrid teaching techniques, so not all in-person learning next term. Gavin Williamson has made clear today, and in remarks that will go down very well on the Tory backbenches, I suspect, that, you know, that if universities want to do that, they should be giving pupils a rebate on the fees. I think that this will be an area of continuing contention as we await the kind of return of universities in mid-September.
And Isabel, final question. We have a situation where Gavin has been touring at the broadcast studios this morning and obviously talking about the results, but not wanting to talk about his own results, his own A-level results, was he?
Well, on one level, they are largely irrelevant, but on another level, not talking about them, as all politicians know, tends to make the story much more interesting than it actually is. And I think it's fair to say that Gavin Williamson is clearly not proud of what his A-levels were, and
perhaps... Or at least doesn't want to boast.
Perhaps actually he just, you know, swept the board. But and that's fine, because as we all know from Twitter, if you mess up in your A-levels, it's fine. You can still get to wherever the latest journalist who's tweeting about their own success in life gets to. I mean, you could even become an education secretary who ends up presiding over a mutant algorithm. So there's all sorts of possibilities out there for you. But it is awkward. And if you look back over education secretary history, there was Estelle Morris, who was the minister without A-levels, as she became known. And it's one of those questions that I think it's probably best just to answer to stop it from becoming a running joke in Westminster.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.